Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Good to have you here this morning. One of the things that we're going to do differently as far as recording, Kim and I had this conversation. Beth, she is doing her page as far as a live stream. And then we have ceased our live stream, and we're going to go back to uploading the video every Sunday afternoon. And here's why. The picture quality and the sound quality is so much better. So it helps those people when they go on later to be able to hear a better audio and see an actual better video. So we're going to do that until at some point one day we get to the place to where we're able to do it and do it correctly with a camera, whatever you have there, and maybe we can do that, we will. But that's just, so this video will be uploaded later. But Beth, hers will be live stream as it is right now on her page, so her friends, whoever's connected to her, whoever go there, they can actually view it as it's happening right now. So that's a small announcement that we wanted to make. As we talked about earlier in the previous hour about some of the burden of heart that I have for people who do not understand how to be saved. They've been taught man's gospel. They've been taught all these things. And so what we want to do this morning, we want to handle some passages. This, again, will be the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. It'll be the ministry of Jesus Christ, part 3. The ministry of Jesus Christ, part 3. And we're going to look here at what is commonly used for the gospel. We're going to look at it. Here's the thing I want you to understand this morning. John chapter 3, by the way. Gospel, John chapter 3. We're not attacking people, okay? We don't want to do that. What we want to do is we want to show Scripture. People are getting nasty as they come on our Facebook page and the messengers that they're sending me. And, you know, they're arguing within themselves because you can't win the argument against God, because what we have taught, as I said to one fella, you know, how far would you go to compel me? I said, I'm not into compelling business. I'm not into converting business. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. My job is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. If you can't do that with the scriptures that we laid out, then you just need more study. Possibly you need to get saved, right? If you are saved, then you need to study your Bible differently. You need to learn how to study your Bible dispensationally. If you get to believing that you're all these things back here in these other books, then you're going to be confused. And so we're not doing this to attack anybody. But anybody in here that spent any time as growing up as a church kid, you were taught John 3:16. And I'm going to admit to you that John 3:16 was dear to my heart for a long time, believing that my gospel was in John 3:16. And then one day I realized what John 3:16 was really teaching. Okay, and so I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings over John 3:16. I just want you to see the truth about the verse. I want you to see the truth about salvation in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. How that salvation for Israel is not the salvation that God gave Paul for us. And there's a distinction, there's a division. And I just want you to see it. First off, I want you to go back to the book of Galatians before we read John, because I want to point out this one thing. Now, some people will already have turned off the video, and that's just sad. That's just sad because some people don't want you to show them Scripture because they are afraid that it might disturb their belief system, right? I want you to see something here in Galatians. I'm sorry, Galatians 5 and 11. And I yet, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Hold on to that verse in your mind. Paul says it's the offense of the cross has ceased, right? If he yet preached circumcision. Have you ever thought about the irony of that verse? The Apostle Paul was persecuting the Jewish church at Jerusalem for believing on the name of Christ. The Jews are persecuting Paul for preaching the cross. You ever thought about that? I mean, that's irony, isn't it? Here's Paul putting these people to death because they believe on the name of Christ. Here they are wanting to put Paul to death because he's preaching the cross of Christ. And that's what a lot of people do with you and I. They're okay with a gospel until it becomes all about Christ, all about his cross, okay? Nothing about them, okay? The only way you can respond to the gospel that Paul had is by faith. That's all you can do, folks. Now, you can drum it up in your flesh that you can do something to better that cross work. That's blasphemy. And that's unbelief. And that's unfaithful. That is not the faith that God's looking for. God is looking for your faith in what his son did right here. All right, so with that being said, remember Paul talked about the offense of the cross. Okay? I'm not going by my notes. Go back to Romans 1. Maybe this is a better way to do this. Look at Romans 1. If you guys answered the questions that I answer weekly about salvation to these people, you would understand why I do what I do, okay? The most important thing in the world is for a person to understand how to be saved and that they do put their faith in Christ and his work alone, right? That they believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised again for their justification. And all they can do by faith is trust him as their Savior. All right, so look here in Romans in chapter 1. And I want to point out something to you. In verses 14, 15, and 16, Paul lays out three I am statements. Look at verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready. There's your second I am. To preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Watch verse 16. For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Notice it doesn't say believeth in work. It said believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul says that the gospel that was given to him is the power of God unto salvation. All right? The power of God unto salvation is in the cross work of Jesus Christ. Now, with that being said, let's go back to John. All right, so the cross, we have Paul's gospel given to Paul, and we'll put it over here. And Paul said, it's the power. We'll look at some more verses. Okay? If the cross of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and that's what the people back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had to put their faith in, then nobody back there ever got saved. Amen? How in the world can you be saved by something that you're clueless of? And I will say something out of love as much as I can say it. If the cross and the preaching of the cross and his grace and what he did for you, if that offends you, you are not saved. Folks, it is what it is. You can't play around with this thing. This is your eternal life. We're talking about souls going to heaven or going to hell. If this gospel that Jesus Christ did everything it took to pay your way, all right, to pay the sin debt of the world, to rise again for your justification, if that offends you and you want some other way to heaven, then Paul said, let such a man be accursed. He said, I say it again, even if an angel from heaven preaches unto you another gospel, then let him be accursed. Folks, if he can be that serious about it by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, then so can I. And we better be. Now let me say this to you. There's a lot of men out there, and this is what they say. Well, we need to ease them into it so we don't offend them. Can I tell you that the cross is already an offense to those who perish? Can I tell you that the gospel that we have is already, it's already foolishness to those who perish? You can't ooze people into salvation. You have to tell them what saves their soul. If it offends them, then that may be the first trigger that gets them to thinking. We're so afraid somebody's going to get offended. Paul wasn't afraid with the Galatians when he said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you ever seen, then let that man be accursed. He wasn't worried about offending people. He was concerned about their souls. Now, I don't want to offend people out of myself, but if this book and the gospel offends you, then so be it. You'll have to deal with God on that. Hey, I'd rather offend you to heaven than to ooze you to hell. Right? And we need to quit playing around. So when people come to John 3 a lot of times, they want to kind of protect that. You know why? They still have some religion in them. And when I say protect it, what I mean, they want to hold on to it as if it is your gospel today. And it's not. And we're not being mean. We're not attacking anybody. We just want to show you. All right, look here at 3:11 of John. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now that sounds good. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, verse 18 is what they never read. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the cross work of the only begotten Son. That's not what the verse says. He has not believed in the name. Folks, there's no preaching of the cross in John 3:16. So back here, prophecy revealed what? Who Christ was. Guess what was revealed to Paul? What Christ did. Paul said how that Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day for our justification. See, what you do, you come back and say, just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. What must I believe? You ever struggle with that? What do I believe back here? Well, you can't tell them out of John. You know what you're going to have to do? Leapfrog on up to Paul and find out about the cross. So if John 3:16 in the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, what in the world could that stand for? Well, when we learn the Bible right and correctly, and we rightly divide the scriptures, we find out that if Israel back here had believed on who he was, they would have taken the message of the kingdom out to the world, and through that, the world could have been saved through that message. Right? How did we get salvation? Not because of Israel's rise. We got it because of their fall. Romans chapter 11. You with me? All right. So watch here, and you have to be ever so careful. Just believe in Jesus. Go with me to James chapter 2. We've got men who they're highly esteemed. They swear they're preaching the gospel, but you can listen to an hour-long sermon and never hear the gospel. You'll hear all sorts of things for the gospel. And when they get done, what do they do with you? Follow me in prayer. Say this after me. Just say this after me. And it's all got a variation from guy to guy to guy to guy. But what did Paul tell us to do? Believe. Right? Is that Paul or is that God giving it to Paul? That's God giving it to Paul. The revelation of the mystery for us Gentiles, right? Look here in 2:19 of James. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and they what? They tremble. They're not saved. They believe in one God. What I want you to understand is you cannot come back here, folks. You've heard me teach it over and over again. And you say, Donnie, why do you do it? Because that's where most of my friends live. That's where most of my family live. They live back here in Jesus' earthly ministry and teaching, believing one line salvation verses, thinking they're saved by it. I have to be emphatic about this. I have to be straight about this. You cannot be saved by believing only on Jesus' name. That is not your gospel. Your gospel is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins, was buried, and he arose again the third day for your justification. You with me?
Yeah.
I'm not making it up, folks, and I'm not being mean about it. Okay? Look at Galatians 3. I've even been accused of, he talks about the gospel too much. Really? Really? Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel, right? Where's your doctrine going to come from? It's going to come from that gospel. You know why people are clueless of doctrine? Because they're clueless of the gospel.
True.
See, once you understand that death, burial, and resurrection for your justification, now you can get established. You can get established in that book of Romans. You can start to grow as a Christian. You got to be saved. And then B, come to the knowledge of truth, right? How many people know the will of God around here? The people out there think that's an everlasting thing, that you got to go seek the will of God. I know the will of God. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, and to see all men saved and come to the knowledge of truth. I've got information. I don't have to guess. I don't have to go to Dr. Bottle Stopper's church to find out where I am and what I ought to be doing. Right? It's to make all men see. Watch this gospel. Look here in Galatians 3 and 11. Excuse me, 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us up to Christ, that we might be justified, how? By faith. Do you see that there's no way that these people back here were looking at that? That's revealed to this man over here. Paul now is writing. Remember the simplicity of our teachings. Don't ever get away from it. Time passed. Paul, but now, in ages to come, can I tell you that what God did back here with man is different what God's done here with man. It's going to be different what God does over here with man. If you'll believe the Bible, you'll be okay. If you want to believe the preacher, you'll be as confused as a termite in a wooden yo-yo. Right? So here you go. But now, how many preachers that you sat under ever told you about time past, but now, and ages to come?
Only right dividers.
Only those who understand that God has worked with men differently throughout time and throughout the dispensations. Right? And He has dispensed different things at different times for instructions for us. Okay? So when you start to see this thing, it if you'll believe God and not man, your eyeballs will become open spiritually. Okay? And you can learn something about the book. All right, so go back with me to John. In John chapter 3, in verse 18, it's clear that they must believe on the name. Okay? Nowhere, listen folks, closely. Nowhere in these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are they ever instructed to believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again for their justification? You're not going to find it. Oh, you can make it up. You can lie about it. You can twist Scripture. You can go get Paul's writings, bring it back, and sandwich it into John. But John is a Jewish apostle writing to Jewish people. He's not talking to you. He's not writing to you. There's great information in the book of John that can be used spiritually as application, but John is ultimately writing to Israel. In this book, folks, as loving as it is, and that's why a lot of people fall in love with the book of John, because there's so much love and all that in it, and that's where they direct you when you get saved to go to the book of John. How fallacy is that? Much fallacy is that? To go to the book of John where you're not even included and get your doctrine. And I know people are turning it off. They don't want to hear truth because they won't spend the time in studying.
That's right.
They just take what the preacher said, and I've got it, man. I'm going to live on that.
Yeah.
Well, I found out the preacher lied to me.
That's right. They all did.
And when I got out of church for a while, I found the truth.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it? You had to get out of church to find the truth.
Yeah.
I have no clue. Watch here in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who was his own?
Israel.
Well, I was there too. My great-great-granddaddy. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. You weren't nowhere near, John.
Yeah.
And if you'd have been in this day, Jesus had told you the same thing that he told those Gentiles. I've came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his
name.
What did they believe in that verse? You see the cross there? If that can get you to be a son of God, and it's not the preaching of the cross, obviously we're talking about another gospel, are we not? What gospel are we talking about? Well, they're all the same. There's only one gospel in my Bible. Well, you need to get you another Bible and learn to study it dispensationally, right? Because in mine, there's multiple gospels. And the one that I believe and the one that has saved me and sealed me is the one that was delivered unto Paul.
Amen.
The power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the cross. All right? Look up with me at John chapter 2. Verse 23. Now when he was in America, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, a Jewish holiday, holy day, in the feast day, holy day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Did they believe? Were they walking by faith and not by sight? No, they were not. They believed the miracles. They believed what they saw and they believed on his name. You see that? Well, I'll just promise you, if you're going to believe this book, it'll change where you go to church. Now, if you want to throw this out and just act like it don't exist and you can't take the Bible literally, you can go wherever you want to go to church. And you can fake it till you don't make it. Look up at John 20. We saw this one last week. Write these men down somewhere, because this is what your four Gospels are based on as far as ministers, really, okay? Write down John the Baptist. Write down Jesus. And write down Peter. And you can just put out there in parentheses the 12. That's really what you've got going on in the four Gospels. All right? Why did I show you that? Not one of those men preached your gospel for salvation. Not one of them. Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of the kingdom to Israel. The issue back here is believe on who he was, his name. Okay? John the Baptist never preached one day about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for the sin of the world, and through that, without Israel, anybody and everybody could be saved. There's still a distinction between Jew and Gentile back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's still a separation. You don't have a body of Christ back here. Okay? What you have is a nation. Jesus did not preach your gospel. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. How do I know that? I can read. Okay? And then Peter didn't preach your gospel. He preached the continuation of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. So guess what you can't find in those books? Your gospel. But where do people take us to get saved? How many people are lost because of it? God only knows. People who have believed another gospel that's not their gospel, that does not paint the picture for them in their mind that they were sinners, they weren't part of a nation, they were lost, they were Gentiles, without hope, without covenant, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, without God in the world, and they needed a Savior that could save them without covenant, without law, without anything, just by His sheer grace. They needed that. They don't know that. They think just believing in Jesus. Well, folks, we do need to believe in Jesus, but we need to believe on Jesus, and we need to know what Jesus did for us, and we have to believe that. and trust Him as our Savior. You're not finding that in the Gospels, by the way. All right? What did Peter believe? Look at Matthew chapter 16. If we take Peter and we separate him, that's most of denominationalism, that's their apostle. You agree? All right. So if we do that by tradition, Peter's the apostle of most everybody out there. We know he is a Catholic church, right? We know what he is. Most of these churches around here that claim to be Protestants, they're not as Protestant as they say they are. They're not as separated as they think they are. All right? So Peter is most people's apostle. What does the Bible say about that? Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. Right? Jesus sent Paul.
Amen.
Right? You agree?
Yes.
All right? So who is not your apostle is Peter. Who is your apostle? Paul. Well, you mean he gave different apostles? Yeah, he took 12 back here because there's 12 tribes. Most people don't even know why he picked 12. He was just having a good day. He walked along, he saw one over here, and he got up to 12 and he stopped. No, there's 12 tribes, right, that are going to sit up on 12 thrones in an earthly kingdom ruling, right? That's why he took 12. Well, why did he take just one over here? That's the question you ought to ask yourself. Because there's only one body. There's one head of that body, which is Jesus Christ Himself. And there's one apostle of that body. Why? Because we don't have any tribes in the body of Christ. We're one new man, one new creature. And Paul delivered unto us our message. How easy is that? Amen? All right. So what did Peter believe? Let's look and see. Look down here at chapter 16 of Matthew. And look at verse 14. 13, starting at 13. And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then you know what? That's amazing. There's people still doing that. Jesus, he didn't die. They gave him some poison on the cross, and he went into a coma. He died of natural causes. He's not really the Son of God. He's just a prophet. He didn't really die for anybody's sins. He was just a good man. He was your example. My big back leg. He was the Son of God. He was God manifested in the flesh. He went to the cross as God. If He wasn't God in the flesh, He could have never gone to the cross to pay for your sin. Amen? It would have done no good to hang me on that cross, Moses on that cross, David on that cross, Peter on that cross, John the Baptist on that cross. Only one could go to that cross, and that was God in the flesh, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteous God in Him. And anytime you want to add to that, you stop and think about how nasty and how blasphemous that is to sit and say, "I can add anything to the cross work of my God." Because what you're telling your God is, you weren't good enough to die for me. You weren't good enough to pay for my sin. I must help you. And I'll tell you where your abode will be eternally. It won't be with Him in heaven. Folks, this is serious business. Man, we're not playing with this thing. This is serious business. You want to know these people jumping on your Facebook page talking about how they got to work to keep it? You ain't got it. If you work to get it, it ain't yours. You don't have it. It's a free gift.
On that cross, He said it was finished for a reason.
Amen. And when He raised Him from the dead, that was His satisfactory payment of Jesus Christ paying for the sin of all the world. Amen. He was raised for our justification. See it? All right. So who do they say that I am? He go through all that business. Elias, Jeremiah, the prophets. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now watch Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What did Peter believe? He believed on that name. Who he was. You see that? Peter believed who Christ was. All right? Now watch who reveals it to him. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." What did God reveal to him? The cross? No. He revealed to him that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that He was the Son of God. If he needed to know the cross, He would have revealed it to him. What's what he don't know? Look down here in 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. That sounds like Paul's gospel to me. Right? But what does Peter do with it? Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be." Keep in mind, Peter's been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the same gospel that Jesus has been preaching. He's up in chapter 16 of Matthew and has no clue of the cross. Well, even one gospel in my Bible. Well, I would give every dollar that I had back to my mama that paid for that education. Because she got robbed. And you did too. I'd get on a bus right now, and I don't care where that school was that taught me that, and I'd go back, and I'd stand out there with a sign like they do out here in these rites, and I'd say, "You liar, you liar, you liar. You lied to me." Whatever school that is. Okay? Because that's exactly what's happened, folks. You've been hoodwinked. People have taught you that you can get your gospel out of these four gospels to believe and go to heaven on, and it's just not there. And I know the religious mind. I know the guy that's got the shingle that says we're the first so-and-so, whatever church. I know he won't listen to a video like this. It's sad, but he won't. Because it don't work with his paycheck. Amen? Well, what are me and my wife going to do if I get over there in a little operation like you got? Get you a job, brother, and go to work. Hey, man, the gospel ain't for sale. The gospel is to tell. Right? Amen? Amen. Amen. They all want to get paid for doing this. Yeah. Man, I pay to do it.
Amen.
It costs me to do it. Yeah. I don't miss a dollar of it, man. This is great stuff.
Good stuff.
Oh, boy. You get all messed up in your religion. You start getting into the Bible and believing it. All right, we're going to do a lot of reading here. Go with me to the book of Luke. Chapter 24. Paul says this right here is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth. The cross, right? I took these verses, stacked them in an email, and sent them to a pastor local. You know what I got back? No, I got his resume back. How much he had done. Where he'd been. Are you going to believe the verses, sir? Y'all preaching that all these people back here are looking to the cross. That's the biggest lie you and I ever... That's just straight out of man. Watch this if they were looking to the cross. 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Were they expecting to be up and walking around?
No, sir.
And certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, they're confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was up in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11, that's the apostles, folks, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, it was Joanna, and I can see there being some doubt in that, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto who? The apostles, the ones who preached the gospel of the kingdom, the ones he anointed, the ones he gave power over to heal the leper, to raise the dead, right?
Yep.
To do all that business. He gave them that power.
Yep.
Now watch verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not.
Yep.
Is there any way that these men were preaching the cross unto salvation?
Yes,
they don't know it.
Right.
You don't have to go to school for that, man. You could take a good kid right out of fifth grade and he can understand that.
Amen.
Until some preacher gets in his head.
Yep.
Oh, it ain't literal. You got to put a spiritual twist on it. You got to believe it like this.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't really what Jesus meant.
Yeah.
then get rid of the Bible.
Yeah.
If I've got a Jesus, if I've got a God that can't write what he meant and mean what he said, then why in the world would I believe in him?
Yeah.
Right? If this ain't literal, what about the birth of Jesus? Is that literal? Right? What about the virgin? Is she literal? You see, folks, you better learn to take the Bible literally. And there's places where you don't. You understand it's metaphorical language. We get that, right? But folks, this is literal. Right? So they understood it not. Look back at John 20. Here's what I'm doing, just so you know. Matthew, we see Peter had no clue. Luke, we see they had no clue. I'm going to show you in all four Gospels, they have no clue of the cross, what Paul was preaching. Yeah, but there ain't no buts about it, man. This is the Word of God. He don't need your conjunctions. He needs you to believe it. John chapter 20, verse 1. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of our sepulcher, and we know not where they laid him. Does she believe he's raised, or they just moved his body? Right? Are they expecting him to be up over there? Are they expecting to go over there and have revival? Are they expecting to go over there and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins, being buried and raised again. We thank you for justification by grace through faith. That ain't what they're expecting. They're expecting the body of Jesus to still be there, right? Still laying there, but it's gone. Right? Watch what he says. Peter therefore went forth as the other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Well, see, he wanted to get there quicker than Peter. And came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter and following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went on, and also the other disciple which came forth, came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, and he what?
Believed.
He believed. What did he believe?
He wouldn't hurt.
He believed he raised, right? For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must what? Then the disciples went away again into their own home. They gave up.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the house. Jesus is over. There's no promise of the kingdom over here. That's done away. Wow. I just wonder how disheartened Peter and them guys were.
Oh, yeah.
Here they giving up all that they had. Left family, left money, left everything they had to follow Jesus Christ. And it's almost like Jesus forgot to tell them something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I have to die on the cross, and I have to be buried, and I have to raise again.
Well, he's been telling
them. He tells them over there, and he starts in Matthew 16, remember?
Mm-hmm.
This time forth, he began to show them that, right? So that tells you everything leading up to Matthew 16, he wasn't doing what? He wasn't telling them anything about the death, burial, and resurrection. He didn't have to, because the gospel of the kingdom had nothing, the preaching of that gospel of the kingdom had nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. It had believing on his
name.
Had to believe his Messiah.
Didn't they recognize
from the Psalms, though? If they had been spiritually in tune, if they had been what they should have been in the prophets and in the law, great question. John chapter 5, look at it. No, but we'll go back to it. John chapter 5. She brings up a good point. John chapter 5. Look at verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. To point them to who he was. Let me say this to you. You can search those scriptures until you get blue in the face, until you fall over without oxygen, you will not find your salvation in there. It's an unsearchable riches of Christ, the hidden wisdom of Christ. For if the princes of this world had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Your salvation is revealed to Paul and Paul only in that. Paul gets that message, delivers it unto us. He writes unto us, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. He writes the hidden wisdom of God. He writes of the mysteries. He tells you that it wasn't known by the prophets of old. He tells you it wasn't known in generations back there. And yet people dispel that you can go back and be saved in Isaiah.
Yeah.
You are not a people in Isaiah. You are far off, alienated, without God. You were given up on chapter 11, Genesis, right? And Paul is the due time apostle with the message that we have today to be saved by. And yet, churchman after churchman, pastor after pastor, preacher after preacher, jumps over Paul's gospel and does his dead level best to get you saved through Peter, through James, through Christ's earthly ministry. They even go back to John the Baptist and say, this is where we started our church. Well, you went back too far, man. You got you a good name there, I guess. You can find it in the Bible. You know, I can find my name in the Bible. Lunatic, right? It's there. So you see, that was a good question. Had they searched the Scriptures? Had they known the Scriptures? But when they get to this point, the Bible says clearly that these things were hid from them. Okay? It was hid from them. So back in John... we come down that Peter, they were down at number 11, and Peter and those go to the sepulcher. But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping as she wept. She wasn't weeping tears of joy like Jesus is raised, right? She was weeping because she felt that the body had been taken away and he was still dead. She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see of two angels on the white in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. All right, so something had changed with Christ himself in the form in which Mary saw him. But can you see that these apostles did not know that Jesus was rising again? Look at Mark chapter 16. So that is John, they don't know. Matthew, they don't know. And now we're going to show you in Mark, they don't know. We're going to show you in all four Gospels, there's no way that anybody is preaching the power of the cross unto salvation. Mark. Look at chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked and they saw the stone was rolled away, it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, behold, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they did lay him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that goeth before you in Galilee. There they shall see him, and he said unto you, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were what? They're not rejoicing, are they? They're afraid, aren't they? Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Mourned and wept. Mm-hmm. I wasn't mourning and wepping when I found out that I'd been saved by the grace of God. I was leaping, man.
Amen.
After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So they say, even you coming back telling me that Jesus has risen from the dead, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I walked with him for 3 years. I preached with him for 3 years. He taught me the gospel of the kingdom. He gave me power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and yet I will not believe you that Jesus has risen from the dead. And they're believing Paul's gospel. You ain't going to suck me into that. I'm out, brother. Hey, I don't care what the shingle says on your door. Don't care how big your building is. That's a lie.
Yep.
You're going to tell me that these people are preaching what Paul preached? That is a lie. Don't you put that nicely. That's a lie.
Yep.
That's of the devil.
Yep.
Right? Hey, go ahead and call it what it is, folks. That's of the devil. That's what the devil is doing. That's the Bible. He's blinding the hearts and the minds of those who believe not the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You better make a stand for it, because I'm telling you, it's out there. It's all around you. Your family are wrapped up in it. Your friends are wrapped up in it. They believe that they can get saved out of a place that there's no gospel being preached for them. There's no cross. There's no power unto salvation. And yet, they're getting saved. No, they're getting lost. They're in a dangerous place, and they don't know it because the pastor is slick willy with a degree telling them, just believe in Jesus. There's a time and a place where believing in Jesus won't save you. It's when you leave out what Jesus did. All right? You better get excited about this thing. You better start sharing it with some people, because I'm telling you, the curtains are drawing nigh, and there's people who have never believed the gospel of their salvation. Right? Folks, it's not to play with. It's not to play with. What did Paul believe? Go to Acts, and we'll be closing up here shortly. We're going to look at a few verses from Paul. What did Paul preach? What did he believe? Look at Acts chapter 13. There are so many babies out there. If my preacher said it, it's got to be true. Folks, I was lied to by the preacher. I was lied to by the preacher. I had them to take me by the arm, walk me down to an altar, do all that business, right? Just believe in Jesus. Never told me that Jesus died for my sins, was buried and rose again. That's all I had to do was believe that and trust Christ as my Savior. They never did that. I found that through reading the Bible and being convicted of my own sin to know that I needed a Savior. You know what book I found that in? John? No. I found it in Romans. I was over there one day reading. There ain't nobody good. We're all enemies. Right? We're all no power to save ourselves. We all in a need of a Savior. The best person you know is in need of a Savior. Right? And the power of God and the salvation is available and can save the worst of all sinners. But you know something? The law that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John can condemn the best of all of us. Right? You better get to your message. Look here what Paul believed. Look at chapter 13 of Acts, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Here comes Paul's persecution. Paul just said, hey, the law will not help you. You're going to have what Jesus Christ did. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know y'all don't know this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to touch a few more verses and we're going to stop. I'm not sure what time we started. Anybody remember? Well, good. If y'all don't remember, then we're good. My running clock says 49 minutes, so we got at least 10. All right, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first, that's important, of all that which I also, what, received? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, right there it is. It tells you plainly that, look, the idea that He was going to die on the cross, He told them that. He was going to be buried, He told them that. He was going to raise again, He told them that. But it was hid from them. They didn't know it. They didn't know it's to save all mankind. All right? That's the mystery of it, is that we could be saved without Israel. Understand? All right? Look down at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He has raised up Christ, whom is raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet where? In your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men what? Most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now it's revealed through the Apostle Paul that what was going on back here and what God had man doing, it all hinged on the merit of Jesus Christ on the cross, dying, being buried, and raised again. They didn't get that information, right, until the Apostle Paul had it revealed to him. But now, right, the righteous God without the law is revealed. You see that? Romans in chapter 3 and verses 23 and 24. Can you see it? All right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I promise you, we're narrowing it down. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What did He send the others to do? The exact thing Paul just said that God sent him not to do, right?
Well, that's the same thing.
Well, don't go outside and do go outside is two different things, right? Don't put your finger in a light socket and do put your finger in a light socket are two different things. One can save you from getting electrocuted. And the other one, make your hair look like mine. But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. Watch. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it's what? And what is it? Are they preaching the cross back there? You found out they're not. Put my gospels back there. John 3:16. Galatians 5. Go to Galatians 6 and we're going to wind up. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Then somebody can go off the deep end and say, so you don't believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's inspired of God? Absolutely, I believe it's inspired of God. All the Bible's inspired of God. Listen here. Don't be so egotistical to think that all the Bible is written to you and about you. It's not. Okay? Most of the Bible is written to God's earthly nation, Israel, concerning the prophetic plan. He put in the dispensation of the grace of God, which was in God before the foundation of the world, by the way. He revealed His hidden wisdom of the cross and of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to the Apostle Paul, right? And then Paul writes to us Gentiles. And you don't have to do like some, run in, this verse says this to that crowd, and this verse says that to that crowd. That's confusion, and that's taking you right back where you came from, right? We know when Paul's talking to the little flock. We know when he's talking to Israel. Romans 9, 10, 11, he tells you. Right? Look here in chapter 6 of Galatians. And look here at verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for what? Mm-hmm. You know how they build these big old buildings and big old churches? Yeah. They stay away from the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
That's to get you people to flock in there. Yeah. Get you a man-made gospel. Come to the altar. Play just as I am for 32 minutes. Get them sad. And when they start to boo, invite them down. And when you get them down, say prayer after me, and we'll get them to heaven. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says it's the power of the cross. It's the power of the gospel. And men who preach that and that alone for your salvation are called heretics. You're in a cult. Really? Well, then it came from there. Amen? So there's persecution to Paul for preaching the cross of Christ. That now the law has been done away during this dispensation of the grace of God, and all it takes is this.
Yeah, they always accuse you of what they're doing.
Amen. And you know, I said this the other day. You have people, every time you talk about grace, so you believe you can just live any way you want to. You know why you think that? And you know why you say that? Because you think your works has got something to do with your salvation.
Amen.
I, personally, and y'all might edit this out, I'd rather see a person on a bar stool who believes in the grace of God than I had some religious Pharisee who believes they're working for the salvation. He's got a way better chance. Amen? If he's put it all in Christ, he's got a way better chance.
Yeah.
And if they have put their chest out and acting like these people in Galatians, folks, they're denying the gospel that saves them.
Yeah.
Right? Watch what he says here. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory where? You know why they want you to dress like them?
Yeah.
So they can glory.
Yeah.
I cleaned that one up.
Yeah.
That was my disciple.
Yeah.
Randy was my disciple. I'm the one that got his hair cut like mine. And got him. I got him wearing leisure suits, and I got that boy looking right. That's my disciple. I worked on him, worked on him, worked on him. I got him straightened up so I can glory.
Yeah.
Amen. That's exactly what it is. And watch here what he says in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in what? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereby I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. You can't get there, folks, without the cross. Understand it? Where was the cross not being preached? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for anybody's salvation. But I can go back there and get saved. The preacher said I could. He's lying to you. Get a hold of the Scripture. Believe the Scripture, right? All right. We're going to stop on Colossians 2, and we're completely done, and I promise this time. You want to know why Paul is so adamant about this cross? And you want to know why those of us who truly believe what God has said, why we're so adamant about that cross? Watch these verses right here. Watch, we do this all the time here, by the way. People probably watch our videos and go, my God, he's in Colossians 2 again.
Yeah.
Preach it. Teach it. Right?
Yeah.
Guess where they are every week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I guess they figure it's their preference. Look here, 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, who you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ. That's the cross, folks. When he was nailed to the cross, he separated us from that body of sin. He went there with sin, buried with it, raised without it. Amen?
Amen.
Buried with him in baptism. That is not water. That's the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. Wherewith also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Who? The operation of God. Nothing you could do. Get your hands off your salvation. God does not trust you with salvation. He trusted his son with salvation. Thank God I'm not in charge of it. Amen. I'd have lost it yesterday and the day before and every day after if it was up to me. Right? Who have raised him from the dead. And ye being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh. There you are. Ephesians 2:11 saying the same thing. Have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. It's Jesus Christ and nothing else. His work and nothing else. His death, His burial, His blood, His resurrection, and nothing you can do except respond by faith to say, God Almighty, I believe the report that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried with my sin, raised without my sin, and I trust Him and Him alone. Amen. Now you have salvation. Anything other than that, take anything away, add anything to it, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're lost. You're lost. I can say that on the principle of God's Word. Not being mean, not being hateful, that is God's Word. All right? If everybody's good with that,